Good morning, folks. It's Luke Clayton, and welcome to Campfire Talk with Larry Wysoon and myself. Larry and I have been bringing Campfire Talk to you now for over 8 years, and trust me, it's as much fun today as when we first kicked it off. Campfire Talk is brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, Texas Wildlife Association, Sitemark, maker of the Photon XT and the Photon RT, Kuby Sausage House and Wild Game Processing in Dallas, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge, Larry's TV show, Dallas Safari Club's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, and Striper Express up on Lake Texoma. Well, folks, it is Campfire Talk time, and Mr. Wysoon is with us right across from the campfire, ready to talk some hunting, aren't you, Larry? You ready to talk about some upcoming fun stuff?
You're exactly right. I'll tell you what, you know, I'm not much of a bow hunter. I used to bow hunt quite a bit many years ago, but we're about a week away from the opening of the bow season. Of course, with the Texas MLD program that we have, there's a lot of ranches that are going to start hunting here very, very shortly as well, too, about the time bow season opens. So when you get right down to it, I mean, whitetail seasons are upon us right now.
It is. I'm ready, and I know dang well that you're ready to get out there. You were out on your land down there in, I guess, southeast Texas, we'll call it, and saw some already seeing some bucks moving and looking pretty good down on your place, right?
We have. My place is up kind of in North Fork, Colorado County, which is just north of Columbus, a little way. And Robert's been in our family for a long, long time, and my brother and I have property there, and then I lease a little property adjoining me as well. And that's one of those areas where they've had 4 points on the side, 13-inch inside spread ruling for a lot of years now, and it's really paid off. I mean, they're taking bucks in that part of the state that used to, I mean, people just kind of dreamed of. They have to go to South Texas and other parts of Texas to hunt. We're starting to see some pretty good kind of deer. We've been very fortunate that we had really good bomb survival rates the last 5-6 years, and that's helped a lot, too. And as these folks have let some of these 2.5-year-old bucks get into the 3-year-old deer and 4-year-old deer, there's some really nice deer in that part of the country right now.
You know, from your place to, say, Waller, Texas, you know, west of Houston, about how far? That's not all that far, is it, really?
No, I would say probably straight across it may be 35 miles, maybe at the most.
That's
even
all.
Even if it's that far.
Wow. Well, you and I have talked around the campfire so much. I used to go down Papa Dinkins. I wish that you could have met him, but I know that you were around people just like him. That's where I kind of cut my deer hunting teeth. I was raised in Red River County, but there were so few deer there when I was in I was born in 1950, so during the 60s, it very few deer. There was a season, but only the seasoned hunters ever got one, you know. But I used to go down to Papa Dinkins, and he would have been born, well, let's see, in about 64, he was 90. So he saw he saw some things in his life. That he was an old cattleman. He had 2,400 acres down there near Waller, within 5 or 6 miles of Waller. But I'd get to go down every fall and spend a couple. Sometimes I'd miss, you know, several days of school. They'd let me do it and spend time hunting. Yeah, I mean, it was, but his great education. At that stage of life, he never killed a deer. He didn't hunt anymore. But he had an old Damascus double-barrel 10-gauge hanging up, and he had either 36 or 37 deer mounts in his old farmhouse back there, you know. And I used to just drool at those. I killed a few deer with him. I did manage to kill a few deer, but I learned a great deal with Papa Dinkins down there. Every year we'd do a little. He'd have me teaching me to do a little trapping and whatnot. But that's what the deer hunting is all about, Larry. You know, it's the things. Looking back, when you had a chance to hunt deer as long as you and I have, how many fond memories have we made? You know.
You're exactly right. There's, you know, you learn so much about wildlife when you're out there hunting. And quite frankly, you learn a lot about yourself as well, too, because you get a chance to kind of sit around when nothing's happening and do a lot of thinking sometimes. So I think you really kind of learn yourself as well. But you're right. There's so many memories with the people that you meet and the opportunities that you have and some of the animals that you take. And some, a lot of times you learn a whole lot more from the animals that get away from you than the ones that you take. So I can't wait to get for – I'm not going to do much bow hunting this year. I've got one of my son-in-laws and one of my grandsons are going to try to take those on our property during the bow season. And so they're going to be down – for opening morning here for too very long, really, actually, and they're going to try to take deer for us to eat, and then I'll go back down and hunt when the regular rifle season starts in November, and this year I'm going to have one of my daughters, Teresa, is going to hunt with me, and she and I are going to sit in the stand. It'll be the first time we've actually had a chance to hunt together in a whole lot of time, and hopefully one of those bucks that we see will be a legal buck, and if it is, we're going to probably flip a coin to see who gets the sheep first, and I got a feeling that I'm going to lose either way, which is kind of the way I had planned. So
yeah,
I may change the rules halfway in between as to who's the winner on the flip. But you know, I can't wait to get back down there, and it's been so long since I've actually had a chance to hunt that property. It is the property I grew up hunting as a kid, and I think the last deer I shot there was, oh my gosh, 30 plus years ago. So it's. I'm really excited about going down this year. I really can't wait. It has as much to do with getting time to spend that time with family as it does going after deer.
You bet. No, that's the thing. It's just a bunch of real good memories, and the good thing is we're still out there making memories.
Still making memories.
getting with them. You bet. I tell you, I'm looking forward, Larry. You and I have talked around the campfire a lot about this, but. David Williams and his wife Regina, they own Hunter's Supply. They make not ammunition, but bullets, lead bullets,
right.
You know, just the bullets. And air guns and, you know, cowboy shooters use them a lot, and, you know, lead bullets. Last year I went, David invited me up there. His ranch is on, the backside of his ranch is on the Continental Divide, not far from Cuba, New Mexico. You know,
gracious, yes.
Yeah, we've
yes,
talked.
Sir, I, you know,
you've been all over that country, and but some good. I shot just a decent mule deer buck last year. I had a little short hunt up there, but going back this year, that country right there, the Jicarilla, I guess, has long been known for giant mule deer. And the only thing that separates his ranch from the Jicarilla is a barbed wire fence, you know. I mean, that's it. So, but he's friends with all the folks. He's David, super nice guy, and his wife, too. But he knows all the chiefs and all of them up there, and they have certain events and things. But that is some, boy, that's some beauty. We've got a lot here in Texas, a lot of good stuff hunting, but something special about getting up there in New Mexico, you know.
There is, and I'll tell you, to me, of course, I love whitetail deer and a lot of the other animals, but to me, there's probably nothing more impressive than just an absolutely monster mule deer. I mean, when he's standing, excuse me, pardon me, when he's standing there and he turns his head, he doesn't turn his head, the world down below him revolves down below him kind of thing. It's, I mean, they're just an absolutely tremendously impressive animal, and love, like you, I love the country that they live in, and just to be up there in the mountains, there's just a certain mystique about being there, and it's kind of hard to put in words when you get right down to it.
I understand. Yeah, next year I'm hoping you can get up there with us, Larry, and I
yep.
think you're kind of making plans to do that.
I am. I'm going to change my hunting schedule a little bit next year, and you can better believe I'm going to be up there, because I love New Mexico.
Oh, boy. Well, this past year, we didn't have a whole lot of time. We hunt the early season, which is the 5 days in early November, the first week of November.
Right.
And that's when I'll be going this year. But, gosh, we got up there, and it's kind of, honestly, it's a whole lot like whitetail hunting. I mean, we're sitting in valleys and over water holes and in stands. You know, he's actually erected some really nice stands now. We were hunting out of a big double bull pop-up blinds, you know.
Right.
And lots of elk. We didn't have the tags and everything for the elk. But so he was with me in the stand, and we saw probably, I don't know, five or six cow elk and a young bull come down. Across the valley, they were probably 100 yards out, and then we saw on the far side of that little valley, Larry, about four or five coming out of the woods, mule deer does. See, I can see those big ears right now flipping, you know. And we were just about to call it a hunt for that morning when these doe come out. It's probably 9 o'clock, 9:30 or so. And we were going to move to another place. And I started, you know, like an old hunter will do, I started looking back, you know, on the edge of the woods. And here come a, it wasn't a, what a trophy mule deer hunter would call a trophy, but it was a nice mule deer buck. And anyway, he gave me a good shot. So that hunt was pretty short. This year, I think I'm going to have a little more time, the whole 5 days, and maybe look for a bigger one. The trail cameras are showing some that he's sending me pictures of, some 21. It looked like to be about 28, and this was 2 or 3 weeks ago. So good opportunities up there, Larry, you know?
Oh, man, you're exactly right. Like I said, that kind of deer these days, a 24, 26-inch mule deer even really these days. That's probably the hardest animal there is to take if you're looking for something that's got a bunch of antlers on his head and is a really big mule deer. To me, it's just one of those super animals there not in all of North America. There's just something special about them.
It is. One, we've just about out of time, but I want to ask you one question, Larry. I thought I knew all the species of the deer family, moose, elk, coos deer, blacktail, whitetail, mule deer. I thought I knew them all, but I didn't. There's one that you've taught me a little bit about, but a friend of mine down in Florida is going to be hunting. Is it a sambar?
Sambar.
Sambar.
S-A-M-B-A-R, I think.
Sambar.
Yep.
Almost the size of a cow elk, but it is also of the deer family, right?
Yes, sir. It is a deer that's found primarily in parts of different parts of India and that part of the world. They were introduced here into the States probably in about the 1930s, 1940s. And you were mentioning that this is on an island there in Florida.
Yeah.
They're also found in Texas on some of the exotic places. But actually, the old Powderhorn Ranch down at Port O'Connor that is now owned by the Texas Park and Wildlife Department is having a special hunt for sambar this year, too, and it's on a drawing basis. These are big animals. They have basically 3 points on each side, a brow tine, a collar point, and a main beam, and they're pretty darn gnarly looking. A lot of purling, real dark antlers generally, and the animal itself is a dark brown, and their hair is a little bit more bristly, like almost like a hog is compared to other, like our regular deer are. But they are a very interesting animal, and they kind of live in the... They love the swampy areas, which kind of explains why they're there in Florida, and then also why they've done so well down on that ranch at Port O'Connor as well, too.
Well, we'll talk in maybe in another show and learn more about those. That was news to me, and always like to learn something new, especially about deer. Trailing the Hunter's Moon, folks, you know, I know a lot, all of you probably watch Larry's TV show, but it's on the Pursuit Channel, and it's an awesome show. And, Larry, it's time for us to kick our coals out on the campfire this time, but you're going to be right back here with us next week, right?
Yes, sir.
Folks, if you're a shooter, I need to hook you up with Hunter Supply. Now, Hunter Supply provides quality cast lead bullets for every facet of the shooting world, from target shooting to hunting. Hunter Supply bullets have been put to the test all over the world. They've taken a Big Five in Africa, as well as a lot of moose and grizzly bear in North America. Single-action cowboy shooters get their bullets from Hunter Supply, as well as air rifle shooters. You can go online to huntersupply.com and check them out. When you make an order, you need to be aware that the shipping is included in the price of the bullets. Folks, for about the past 18 months, I've been using a Photon XT by Sightmark. It's a night hunting scope, and you can use it during the daytime, too. Absolutely awesome for hunting hogs. I probably killed 20 or 25 hogs using the Photon XT, and I shoot hogs at ranges of 100 yards and less. Now, it's not thermal. You won't be shooting 300 or 400 yards with it, but for most of us, and especially for the price, it is awesome. Now, the Photon RT is out now, and it has a camera mode sound on it. For a few $100 more, you can get that model. I am just putting it to work, and so far I really like what I found. But just go to sightmark.com and check them out. Folks, if you're in the market for a new feeder, I want to hook you up with my buddy Carl Harmon that owns Ultramatic Feeders. You can go online to ultramaticfeeders.com or simply give Carl a call, 877 877- 828-4637. Carl makes some awesome feeders. I've got one that I've had in the woods either 9 or 10 years, and all I've had to do is replace the battery about every 3 years on it. Again, that's ultramaticfeeders.com.